killed him. Good way to end the pulpit, huh? I'm frustrated. The fly's attacking me. Amen. Maybe I shouldn't wear as much mousse or something in my hair. Amen. I didn't wear no cologne. All right. Maybe that's why I stink. Anyway, all right. Amen. All right. Well, if you text me while I'm preaching, y'all know I'm in the Holy Ghost because I'll be getting at it. Getting at it. Amen. Let me again just welcome you to Open House Sunday. Let me give you just 3 points. This is not my message, just 3 things this morning about us. And there's 3 words that are used a lot today in church circles. One of them is the message. Listen, Heritage Baptist Church's message hasn't changed. The message of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ being spread and being taught in our church, in our Sunday school, children's church, master's club, even our children's choir, that is the main thing. The message that the Lord Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life, that He died and was buried, and that He rose again that we might have eternal life. That is the message of Heritage Baptist Church. Amen? The message shouldn't change. Our methods haven't changed. Our methods haven't changed. There's a lot of churches today in America, in our metroplex, in other words, have changed their methods. They have gone to what they call a seeker-sensitive movement. And by that, they mean that they take a survey, they find out what all the people want, and that's what they do. Well, my Bible says that's not the way it should be done. My goal, our church's goal, is not to please the person sitting in the pew. The goal of our church is to please the Savior. Sometimes the message, as well as the method that Christ established, is not popular. Amen. The gospel sometimes hard to swallow. That pill sometimes really hard to swallow. Sometimes the things that are spoken of in this word step on your toes every once in a while. I really believe, and I know we kind of make light of it, but if you go to a church and your toes aren't stepped on every once in a while, you're not in the church. You're in a social club of some sort, but or maybe a guy gets up and preaches a good motivational message. But there ought to be some motivation to do right and live for the Lord. Amen? And you know, again, with balance. We understand that. We can all disagree without being disagreeable. Amen? The Bible says preach the truth in love. And that has been some of the problem of churches in the past who haven't preached it in love. You know, that's getting up and just ripping everybody up and down. That maybe has caused some of the seeker-sensitive movement. But we believe in being Christ-sensitive. That flies after me again, isn't he? Somebody get me a fly swatter. That's close. Who was it, Brother Graham, the other day, or somebody killed a fly, didn't you, while you were teaching or something? I was like, you know, Daniel's son. I'll catch it. Sorry for all those who grew up in the 80s. I'm just trying to help you out there. Yeah, get me some chopsticks, somebody. Our message hasn't changed. The message of the gospel, our methods haven't changed. By that we mean our methods of being Christ-sensitive, not seeker-sensitive, but also in our methods, still believing, going out two by two, spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, sending missionaries around the world, still doing it the way they've done it for the last 2,000 years. Amen? Now you say, well, what has changed? Well, our means have changed. Amen? Now, we don't live in the first century. I mean, there's such thing as a color copier now. Amen? And if you got, how many of y'all received your newsletter yesterday? Good, good, good. All right. So you received a color newsletter. Now, we're still having some problems with our copier, but we're going to get a new one. We're going to put it in the budget for January if you guys will pass it. All right. We're going to get a new one. That one's about had it. I'm telling you, I'm going to kill this fly or something. But we believe the means have changed. We do have a screen. We enjoy putting things up on the screen. And we're not totally opposed to putting some music up on the screen from time to time. Though I do think I personally like the hymn book because I do follow the notes. And Brother Stone heard me a while ago. I tried to sing bass for a little bit. And I think if you're in the congregation and you do know the notes and you know how to follow, you don't have to know the notes. You just follow the up and down of your particular part. You ought to sing it in the congregation. It ought to be like a choir. Amen? And it's kind of hard to do that when you just put the words up on the screen and nobody can see the notes, right? All right? So, but we're not totally opposed to putting music up on the screen. And sometimes we'll do that, especially choruses and other things. We use it for everything in the world. Missions, everything else, and our means have changed. We use the internet. I mean, right now we have three people watching on the internet, watching the services live on the internet. Brother Treadwell watches every Sunday. Hey, Brother Treadwell, praying for you. And I hardly ever talk to anybody on there, but it's all going. Amen. And we believe the means have changed. I mean, there are new technologies and things we can use to do a better job even of getting the gospel out. Amen. And so, but our methods have not, our message hasn't changed, but our means have changed. In the area of music, you know, Brother Randy sang a great song a while ago. And I know that's a newer song. God hasn't stopped inspiring music. I believe it's a little less than it used to be, my personal opinion. But that's a terrific song. Man, what a great song. And so, the Lord's good. Let's just continue the way we are. We love people to come visit and be a part of us. But we kind of want you to know who we are. And that's who we are. And a lot more to that than that. But we're just so glad that you're here and here for this special Sunday. And God is so good. Man, we had a great day yesterday, even though it rained. And I appreciate everybody who worked so hard to make that day possible. Of course, Kelly Clark, who put it all together and spent hours and hours. Amen. Hours and hours and hours of his own time working on those things. And I know Leland don't want to mention his name, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Leland Franks. Leland and the guys built that swing thingamabob out front, and that was a hit with the kids until it started raining. And we look forward. We're going to use that on Roundup Sunday. We'll use it on the Spring Fling. We'll use it several other times. And I appreciate the guys who put that together and help with that. And Brother Phil Hokett, Brother Brian Cobb, Kurt Summers, Brandon Cook. I don't know if we should mention staff on this stuff. Bobby Gilbreth, appreciate him. Kai, really got to announce him. Kai? All right, Kai, help. I know we're leaving out some names. Those men especially kind of got all the preparations done, built the new booths. If you got here a little early, you got to see the new booths. They were just terrific. Man, instead of taking 2 hours to take everything down, it took us 30 minutes. And instead of lifting 400 pounds walls, they were, you know, 10-pound walls. It was great. It sure shows us how quick we can put it up and how quick we can put it down now. And we'll look forward to the next year adding on to it and improving it every year would be our goal. And so anyway, also those with games, we brought the games inside, a few of them. I think Brother Forte and Miss Forte had the prizes on. My kids loved y'all's prizes. Amen. And the Garretts, the game they made was just tremendous. Brother Graham's engineering feat behind his game, I thought that was just amazing. What engineering capabilities there. The Obenauer's duct tape, are they working in there? I think they are. Did y'all see that duct tape suit he had on? That is so cool. I tell you, he should have wore it this morning. Suit out of duct tape. Bunch of rednecks. Of course, the Goebbels always do a great job with costumes and Sarah and the family there. And appreciate Brother Ivy standing out in the rain cooking hamburgers. And Brother James Randolph for helping with the food and doing a fantastic job. And I know I always leave people out. Thank you guys very, very much. I saw Roberta taking pictures. Did we get a picture before it got tore down? Don't know. Maybe somebody took a few pictures, but appreciate others who have worked hard and staying out there working. And it's great, guys. Help set it up and then had to tear it right back down. And we have decided not to postpone it. We're just going to go on. We had it last night, right? And so we'll wait. We'll look forward to the Spring Fling, which is almost like that. We'll set a lot of that stuff up again and have a great time with the kids in the spring. All right, I got all that passed. I want to do that before I preached because it was a tremendous week. And literally, I don't know, hundreds of hours went into the preparation of yesterday. And we thank you for being such a part in our church family of being here. I mean, we had like 3 billion cakes here last night for the cakewalk. And by the way, there's about 10 left, I think, in there. And if you would like to, you can go in there and just grab one because they're not going to last. So go in there and grab you one, take it home with you. Put a $5 bill in the offering plate or something. Speaking of that, there was a lot of cost incurred from the Fall Festival. I might encourage you, if you just feel the Lord leading you, to give a fall festival offering or something, because we did, you know, we weren't able to, we didn't charge yesterday for the food or anything. We just, for the games, and we just said, everybody come in, let's just have a good time of fun and fellowship. And it turned out terrific. But if you do feel led of the Lord, you might, in the offering tonight, just put a little something in there and just mark it fall festival, and that'll help, okay? All right. Again, visitors, thank you for being here this morning. And if this fly gets us during the preaching, we're gonna get him. All right. I'm gonna roll. Give me a rolled up newspaper or something. Amen. All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. And I realize the clock. If you guys will give me, it's 15. I'm gonna try to preach this message in 20. Brother Henderson does it 18 minutes, right? Okay, y'all give me 22 minutes. Everybody with me? Everybody got 22 minutes? Don't look at your clock the whole time, though. Right. We're gonna shoot for 22 minutes on this one. This is a hard one, too, because I got to give you a little history. And I preached about Rahab probably, maybe six years ago. And it was laid upon my heart again yesterday as I was trying to deal with everything else going on, and then trying to preach upon our theme, which I will preach on, I promise. It just seemed like God continues to direct me another way. Joshua chapter 6. Did I say 2? Joshua chapter 6. We'll go back over to chapter 2 in just a second. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are here therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that was sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when you take up the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with the priests and blew them with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swore unto her. Verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that were therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, and put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We thank you. We do thank you for the rain, Lord, and Lord, we need it. And we ask, God, that you would bless again those who worked so hard for yesterday. But today, Lord, we are thinking about you. We're thinking about the Bible. We're thinking about the things of God. And I pray that each heart, each mind would be stayed on you this morning. Lord, that you would help me as I preach to just to give me understanding and wisdom as I speak. Help me to keep a clear mind, just to direct thoughts to me that you would have me to say. Help us to see this great lady whom you use in a mighty way. Help us to see the applications to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 2, we have the story of Joshua as they approach Canaan. They're still on this side of Jordan, and Joshua, that great captain of Israel, sends two spies into the city of Jericho to spy out the land. And these two spies enter that great city of Jericho. Am I on? No? Hang on. We won't blame Brother Tim. He put new batteries in, he said. Somebody switched out the batteries. Can I stay behind the pulpit? It's going to be difficult. Brother Tim, let's don't worry about it. We'll stay behind the pulpit. You ready? Maybe we need to pray again. Do I look frustrated? Do I have a frustrated look on my face? Okay, see what happened. There's no way we can get rid of him because if I start slapping him up here, we're going to all... All right, you came to church today. I know we talked about our methods don't change, our message doesn't change, our means don't change, but the way we kill flies is about to change. Somebody get me some insecticide. Y'all can spray me down with it.
I just took them out and put them back in.
Look at them now. Everybody's scurrying around trying to help me out. Yeah, I know what you would do. I'm telling this fly to go find another guy with a purple shirt on. We've got several of them in here. It's my first time to wear purple. Thank you. Appreciate that. Do I get extra minutes? Do I get extra minutes? No, I don't think there was two.
Yeah, there was two. Was there not two?
There wasn't two.
There was two?
Was there two?
Keep going.
Now the guts in my hair now?
Keep going.
Hey, Brother Treadwell, this is awesome.
He does this to me in Sunday school, so.
Did anybody get a picture of that? You had yourself, it wasn't ready, were you?
We'll be an internet phenomenon. Go ahead.
This is going on YouTube today.
Just ignore me.
Okay. Let me tell you the story about Rahab. Okay, I'm going to keep it up here. Okay. His smell is worse than mine. We have visitors here today. I want y'all to know normally I'm really dignified. Yeah, right. I remember when I first got in the ministry. And being around all the preachers I'm around, I've really been blessed with some great friends and some really great friends that are very, very much dignified. And I tried to be like the first 5, 7, 8 years of my ministry, and then it all went out the window. So I want you to know, if you're visiting with us and I kind of elbow you, elbowing is a sign of affection for me. Right, guys? Right? Yeah, he's got it. The man in the pink shirt. And if I make fun of what you wear, I'm showing affection. Brother Stan, I am. It's affection. Affection. Love and compassion. I think we're almost got the fly gone. The fly gone is I can get back to the sermon. Now, everybody, all right? Let's try it and see what happens. Miss Lassiter, we think we got it. I think we're all good. Satan's coming back as the fly. Let me tell you the story of the fly. No, all right. There really is a great illustration about a fly, but I don't have time. In Joshua chapter 2, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, and so they went out to Jericho to spy out the land. So he sent these two men went into Jericho to see, again, they're about to go into the land and conquer it. And so there they meet Rahab, who was a harlot. Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew term for harlot could mean an innkeeper. But New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2 makes it very clear that Rahab was indeed a harlot, a prostitute. Land, I dare you. She was a prostitute. So, again, this is a great illustration of how God is not no respecter of persons. I thank the Lord that God does not, dictate or determine how His love is towards us by what we do or by what we, who we are, either the color of our skin or our society station in life, that God is no respecter of persons. And here God uses Rahab, this harlot, for His use and for His glory. Now, it says there that the king of Jericho had made a decree that no one was to leave the city and so forth and so on. And Rahab was, again, introduced to these two spies, and she hid them. The king even understood that these two spies had come to her house. So the king sent men and said, all right, go to Rahab's house and get these two spies. And when they came to Rahab's house, Rahab hid them, and the king did not find them. And that evening, she let the two spies down by the city walls out of a window. Now, she had the two spies promise something. The two spies promised that because she had helped them, that she would not be destroyed with the rest of the city, that she and her family. And the two spies said, okay, as a promise of this covenant, we want you to put this scarlet thread out the window of your house. And when we come in to destroy the city, we'll not destroy the house that where the rope, the scarlet thread, is hanging out the window, the red rope hanging out the window. God used other great covenants in the same manner. God told Noah He would not destroy the earth, and He said, I'll put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant between Me and you. God made a covenant with Abraham by way of circumcision. And you can go out throughout the Old Testament and see God making covenants with people. And so the covenant was made with this harlot, with Rahab, that her home would not be destroyed, that her home would be spared by God. And the New Testament tells us why. The New Testament tells us because she was a lady of faith. See, they had heard about what God had done for the children of Israel. They had heard that God had parted the Red Sea. They had heard about the great miracles and the plagues that God sent upon Egypt. You know, those great hailstones that were on fire coming out of the sky, turning the water into blood, and the frogs and the lice and on down through there. They had heard of all the great miracles God had done for Israel, and they were afraid of Israel. Hang on, let me put it even clearer than that. They were afraid of Israel's God. They were afraid of Israel's God. And when Rahab became afraid of Israel's God, instead of rejecting that God and saying, I'm going to do everything I can to sustain my life, she put her faith in that God. She put her faith in Jehovah. Again, Hebrews chapter 11 puts her in the hall of faith with great men such as Abraham and Noah. And even, there's only two ladies cited in Hebrews chapter 11. Who they are? Rahab and Sarah. Sarah, Abraham's wife. You think about Sarah and the great, the mother of the Jewish nation in a list with Rahab, who is a harlot. Why? Because the harlot, Rahab, was a great lady of faith. She believed in the father of Abraham. She believed in the God of Abraham, and therefore God spared her life. Not only did God spare her life, He spared her family's life. What a great story it is. They had heard and they were afraid, and Rahab turned to the God of Jehovah instead of all the other idols and gods that the men and the Canaanites and all these heathen people worshipped. We could see, as God told Israel to go in and defeat this great city of Jericho in chapter 6, they marched to this great city and they take and they put their armies out in front of the priests, and here you have the priests following with great horns, and the horns, they blow the horns, and they marched around the city of Jericho once, twice, three times, one time each day. For 6 days they marched around. One time each day they marched around the city of Jericho. You could see the people up on the walls, no doubt, looking down upon this vast army and saying, where are your battering rams? Where are your rams to force our gates, our city gates in? Where are your instruments of war? No doubt they began to laugh at this army and say, you're going to defeat us with your priests? You're going to defeat us with a little golden box like this? The Ark of the Covenant? You're going to defeat us with that? What in the world's going on? But on that seventh day, they rounded the city one more time. And when they stopped, Now, for that those previous 6 days, the children of Israel were told not to say a word. Only the priests blowing the trumpets. But on that seventh day, they marched around it. And when they stopped, the trumpets blew. And then the children of Israel let out a great shout. And the Bible says the walls came tumbling down. In fact, the Bible says the walls came down and fell down flat. As a kid, I always got the idea that they were just trying to maneuver over boulders as they were going to the city. Nope. Fell down flat. It was like a highway into the city. Amen. And they came into that great city and defeated the city of Jericho and destroyed everything. God said, destroy everything utterly. Destroy the men, the women, the donkeys, everything except for the gold and silver and so forth. You take that and you put it in the house of God, in the treasury of the house of God. Except for Rahab and her family. Man, what a tremendous, tremendous lady. Three things about this great lady. And that is, number one, she was a lady of faith. And we, because of lack of time, Hebrews 11:31, if you want to write that down, and you can go look at it later. Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews refers to Rahab as a lady of great faith. She was a harlot. Again, I'm so glad today that God is no respecter of persons. In fact, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. No matter your station in life, no matter your skin color, no matter the crimes or sins you have committed, God loves you this morning. God loves the murderer, and God loves the one who's, you know, never cussed. God loves the man who may be of good morals, and God loves the man who may be of bad morals. God loves the world. Amen. Not only did He love the world, but He gave His life for it. Here is Rahab the harlot, a Gentile. God loved him. She believed. Again, we know this because Hebrew tells us. She was saved physically and spiritually by placing her trust in God. Her actions prove this. Now, it's not the scarlet robe that saved her. It's the belief behind it. Again, if she hadn't put the scarlet robe out, her house would have died. It would have been done. It would have been destroyed. But she believed God, and so she put the scarlet robe out. It's the same thing as when the children of Israel made sacrifices. It wasn't the sacrifices that saved them. It was the meaning behind the sacrifices that saved them. It wasn't the scarlet robe that saved Rahab. It was the meaning behind the scarlet robe that saved her. The covenant that was made between her and those two men. Again, God is not willing that any should perish. And God can use anyone, and God can save anyone. On this point, let me just again reiterate to you. If you're not saved this morning, won't you get saved? God loves you this morning. God loves the harlot. He loves you. He loves me. Again, He loves the moral man. He loves the immoral man. He loves mankind. He loves us all. He's not willing that any should perish. Rahab was a lady of faith. She was a lady of works. James 2:25 speaks of Rahab again in the New Testament. Speaks of Rahab and her works. And James tells us that Rahab proved her faith by her works. Rahab proved her faith by her works. She hid the spies, proving, therefore, that she had faith and trust in Jehovah God. She obeyed the words of the spies, and therefore, God blessed her for it. She brought her family. Look at verse 23 again there in Joshua chapter 6. It says, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Not only did she hide these two spies, but she also brought her family into her home that her home might be saved, that her house might be saved. She saved her house. She saved her kinfolks. What great work she performed. She let down the cord again. Showing her works. By the way, it was a red cord. Not a blue cord, not a black cord, not a yellow cord. It was a red cord. Signifying again that precious blood that was shed on Calvary for us. Our works prove our salvation. Actions speak louder than words. Let me tell you this morning that salvation is by faith and faith alone. Amen? By believing and trusting in Christ and His life and His death, His burial and His resurrection, by putting our faith completely in Him. But with salvation comes a new want to. We become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A person who accepts Christ as their Savior proves that faith by their works. James says so many, many times in the book of James. He says, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, faith without works is dead. We got a lot of people in churches across the nation who claim to be Christians who never live it. Who claim to be saved, born again, blood-bought Christians, but never darken the door of a church. Never do anything for the Lord. Never perform works. Never do anything to please the Lord. And yet they claim to be Christians. I don't get it. James says, by your works, faith is proved by your works. Faith without works is dead. A person who is genuinely saved will produce works. Period. Do you have a want to in your heart to please the Savior? If you don't, then you need to check up on what you may think is your salvation to make sure you're saved. Amen. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Faith. A faith that saves is a faith that works. Faith that works. Rahab hid the spies, proving her works. She let down the cord, proving her works. She brought her family into the house, proving her faith, showing her works. Lastly, she protected. She protected. Listen, she protected her home by that cord she let down. She saved her life, and she saved her family's lives. There's some things we need to do in our own lives to protect our families. Amen. Our home should be a sanctuary. Our home should be a sanctuary. I've said this 1,000 times, but you should enjoy being married. Kids were given to us to be enjoyed. You know, not endured. Amen. I hear people all the time say, preacher, just wait till your kids to be wait till they get to be teenagers. Man, so far, teenage years are the best times of my life. In fact, in my life with my dad, the teenagers were the best times in my life when I was a kid. Man, now dad, you know, now we can do things, you know, man. Wrestle and fight and hit and all the things we did growing up. Enjoy it. Your home is a sanctuary. You should work at making your home a sanctuary. Wives, you should work at making your home a sanctuary. It should be a place that you walk in the door and you can relax. Amen. We need to let down the cord and protect our homes and our families. We need to let down the cord of discipline in our home. There's some homes that need some discipline in the home, which would help with the chaos. There's some homes today that need to take the Bible and reverence it once again, rather than letting the dust settle on top of it. Amen. We need to let down the cord of consistent living before our kids and our family. Living a life that's pleasing to our Savior. Being careful where we go and what we do and what we watch and what we look at. We need to let down the cord of a family altar. There needs to be a family altar in every home, where mom and dad and children sit down together in the mornings or in the evenings or maybe both and read a verse of Scripture and pray together. Amen. Children ought to be able to, should and ought to hear their daddy pray. Children ought to and should hear their mama pray. Amen. I've known families who mom and dad had never prayed in front of their kids and never prayed together. Boy, you need to, I tell you what, it will revolutionize your family if you'll sit down and have a family altar in your home. By the way, it takes work. We haven't always been consistent in our home. It's something we've had to work at and work at. And every once in a while we had to stop and say, oh, we've missed a few days. Everybody, all right, back together. Keep going. The devil doesn't like you to have a family altar in your home. It's something you've got to continually work at. We need to be careful and protect our homes. Rahab protected her house. Matthew Henry said this. He said, those who pray do well. Those who pray and read the Scriptures do better. But those who read, pray, and sing do the best of all. How is your house? Is it joyful? Is there singing going on? When I was a kid growing up, we woke up on Sunday mornings. We don't do this at our house, but at the house I grew up in. Man, the first thing we did, Mom and Dad bought this old stereo. And when you woke up in the morning, there was quartet music playing. You know, just that type of household. Fathers should be the provider, protector, and priest of their homes, making sure that their home is protected. But as for me and my house, Joshua said at the end of the book of Joshua, we will serve the Lord. The cord, this red cord that was let down, pictures the scarlet line of the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The genealogy all the way back to Abraham. From Joseph all the way back to Abraham. In that genealogy, in all of that line from Abraham down to Joseph when the Messiah was born, when Jesus Christ was born, in that line you find Rahab the harlot. Do you understand? That is significant. That is so significant. You understand? Rahab married one of the two spies. Amen. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. Another 80s expression. She married one of the two spies. And she was the mother of Boaz in the book of Ruth. Whew, that's cool. Boaz took Ruth in, who also was a Gentile. That's so cool. Rahab is one of the four women who were Gentiles and who's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, in the Messianic line, this red cord. This red cord of the Messiah is found all the way from Genesis chapter 3:15 all the way through until Jesus Christ is born. This red cord from Genesis 3:15 when Jesus Christ promised that the Messiah would come, when he made coats of skin for Adam and Eve, when he shed that blood, down to Abel's sacrifice and on down through, we see this Messianic bloodline coming through. And Rahab was part of that bloodline. First off, this morning again, the scarlet letter is a cord of faith. Rahab believed. She believed in the God of Israel. She believed that those two spies and their God could save her. And she put her faith in their God. Not in the two spies and not in the rope, but in Jehovah. By the way, this same God lives today. Jesus Christ said, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ can make the vilest clean. The Bible says we're all vile, by the way. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners before the Lord and have need of being cleansed. When we come to Jesus Christ and we accept Him as our Savior, we trust in Him, not in baptism, not in the cord, not in baptism, not in church membership, but we trust Jesus Christ as our only means of salvation from the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sins. He gives us eternal life. Then we have the cord of works. Faith without works is dead. Christian, this morning, are you proving your faith by your works? Are you at like Rahab and, again, gather your family together? First thing she did was witness to her family. You realize that one of her brothers or sisters could have ratted her out? And when she went to them and said, hey, everybody who's in the house will be saved from Israel, but you've got to be inside my house or you'll be destroyed when the Israelites come. And they could have mocked at her. They could have said, well, I'll wait till the siege happens, then I'll come run at your door. They could have told the king. But she bravely witnessed her family. And the Bible says her family came into her house and she saved her family. Well, we need to be out working for the Lord, telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, witnessing to others of the great works of our Lord. Then we have the Lord of the court of protection. We need to be careful and protect our homes, revive the family altar. The last one is the cord of blessing. The cord of blessing. And I'm done. If we'll put our trust in Jesus Christ, He saves us. What a great time that is. Nothing else you'll ever experience will be, you come close to having the Lord Jesus Christ live in you. To have the Holy Spirit there to comfort you and guide you and give you peace and strength. It's the most amazing event of my life is when I got saved. And now my works simply prove my salvation, but I'm not forced to work. I love the Lord and therefore I work for Him. To tell others about Him and so forth. And I therefore try to live for Him and protect my home and witness to my family and my friends and try to create an environment in my home where I can be a great witness to my children. And as I get saved, I work for the Lord because I love Him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And as I do those things, God blesses me. God blessed Rahab in a mighty way. And I know I don't have enough time to develop this theme, but Rahab was the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She got paid for unseemly things, and yet she's in the messianic, that red cord line. She's in that line, the messianic line of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave His life for us. Rahab the harlot is. Bathsheba, who committed such a great sin, she's in that same line. Tamar and Ruth. God is no respecter of persons. God can use Rahab, God can use you. God can use Rahab. God can use me. Amen? Amen. The cord of blessing. God will bless you. Jesus wasn't ashamed to have a former prostitute as a great, 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 great grandmother. Let's all stand. Hymn 164.